Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review, a chance to look back at the week's events in the two very sad Florida cases of Kaylee Anthony and Haley Cummings. With it being Mother's Day, we might be a little down on the panel, but we'll have to wait and see who turns up. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan, and happy Mother's Day.
Hi, Simon, and thank you very much. Hello, everyone.
From Sin City, Nevada, we have the crime doctor himself, Denny Griffin. Denny, good to chat with you.
Happy birthday, Jan.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear him.
I said good afternoon and happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you very much.
And Denny, I have to say that the two real production folks that you're working with on the CrimeWire project seem like very, very good folks.
Yes, they are very good folks, and a pleasure to work with.
Yeah, I had a nice chat with them. We did have Gaines from Gainesville, Florida, award-winning journalist and news and programming director for the Sky 97.3 with us, TJ Hart. However, his phone just died. So he right now is scuttling to find a landline, but he should be with us momentarily. And from Maine, we have investigator Peter Hyatt. Peter, it is always good to talk to you.
Well, good afternoon and happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Thank you.
As always, our phone lines are open. The number is 646-378-1120, or you're welcome to ask your question in our chat room. Okay, on with the program. Let's start with a Kaylee Anthony update. I think Thursday proved what a huge mistake Jose Baez made by persuading Judge Strickland to recuse himself. Jan, you and I watched the feed. What was your take?
It was quite amusing. Well, I guess you could say the one thing that I did notice that was plain was that Judge Barry is really hot and heavy on all the finances that the defense it will be spending with the taxpayers' money.
Yeah, I don't think he left any wriggle room.
No, he sure hasn't. He's going to be on them like they're going to be. He's going to watch them. He's going to watch every penny that they spend. And he's going to put them on a budget, I bet. I mean, I can see it now.
Actually, one of the things I caught was he was very unhappy about the prospect of using expert witnesses from other states.
Right. He wants them to try to use the experts from Florida. It'd be a lot cheaper than having them come from out of state, but Baez wasn't too happy with that.
Oh, no, he wasn't. In fact, we watched a video feed. I'm not sure if it was live or recorded, but the facial expressions were different.
Oh, totally different. His smile was gone. He even sat there and looked worried. And I can imagine he's probably regretting having Judge Strickland recuse himself from the bench, because he didn't think that he was going to get somebody else, somebody that would be even stricter, I'm sure. But I think he's kicking himself for what he done.
The other amusing aspect was the fact that Baez wanted to have the records sealed about the finances. And Judge Perry said, nooey.
Absolutely not. He's not going to go for that. Hey, well, and it's only fair because, I mean, the taxpayers are paying this. So why not show them where their money's going? And especially with this defense team, because they're so easy to spend thousands of dollars without batting an eye.
Peter, did you have an opportunity to watch or listen to the nonsense on Thursday?
I did. I share Jan's views, but it was amusing. The Justice Administration Commission, I think, has their act together really well in terms of protecting the taxpayers' dollars, and this was not something that made Jose Baez happy. In fact, he had said that he spoke about the news agencies, and I think his quote was, "The leeches and pseudo-news media are most interested in having these things." And one of the things that grabbed me was how quickly he would go from, well, I this and I that, to we and we, as he reduces his commitment to what he's saying. So there was no swagger. There was no smirk. He is clearly regretting that motion that he filed.
Now, I agree with that, man. You could see it on his face. And Casey wasn't so happy with her smiles either. She looked worried, too.
You know, I've got a feeling that that whole gambit was initiated by the new attorney. I've forgotten his name.
Cheney.
Hmm. Right, and you know, the judge had some interesting words for Cheney. I've worked with you before. You don't.
In other words, I know.
You don't need an expert to help select the jury. You're very good at it yourself. Which I've got to admit, I just found huge amounts of humor in.
Oh, I was just thrilled how it went.
Denny, did you listen or watch any of this nonsense?
I heard about it. I didn't watch it, but what I heard and previously and what I'm hearing today has me rather gleeful because I have no particular respect for the competence or professionalism of the defense team. And any day that's a bad day for Baez and company is a good day for me.
I do believe that we have the long-lost T.J. Hart back on the line.
Indeed.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You managed to find a landline?
Yes, sir.
we were talking about the hearing that was held on Thursday in the Casey Anthony case.
Mm-hmm.
New judge doesn't seem to be quite playing along with Baez the way Judge Strickland did. Did you read or watch any of that?
A little bit. A little advice to Mr. Baez. Careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
Exactly.
We want a judge that's competent. Well, I think Judge Strickland was pretty competent, but he also was very tolerant of some horseplay and shenanigans. This new judge, it's a whole new ball game, and I think they're going to get it off the silly track, get it on the fast track, and get this thing underway as quick as humanly possible.
Okay, you actually segue into something that is bothering me enormously. The Judge Perry has stayed with the May 2011 trial date, and he has stipulated that depositions will be done by September, expert testimony by October. So why do we have to wait 7 months after that?
Good question.
That's a very good question. Well, first of all, they got a few crucial hearings this week that could determine whether or not she's going to face the death penalty and where the trial is going to be held. Those are some big things. So that might where it's going to be held just might be the one that they wanted to allow time for. So.
Well, except that Perry has already stated that, you know, from his perspective, there's no reason to move the trial. If anything, that they'll just bus in jurors from somewhere else.
Well, he made a good point with it, though. He said that to move the whole trial, they would have a lot of people to have to put up in hotels and feed them, three meals a day. It's a lot less expense if they just bring the jury to Orlando. And that way they wouldn't have to put up all the witnesses in a hotel. And we're not talking for 2 or 3 days. I mean, they're expecting this thing to go any time between 4 weeks to maybe possibly even past 2 months. So that's a long time to have to put people up in a hotel room. So it would be a lot cheaper just to have it in Orlando. And that's what he was talking about.
And let's face it, no one wants to spend 2 months in a bloody hotel.
No. 2 or 3 days is luxury, but you get tired of it after that.
I used to do a lot of traveling, and I reached the stage where I'd sit in a restaurant, and someone would give me a menu, and I'd say, no, just give me food. I don't care what it is.
Well, you remember how we talked about...
Go ahead.
How we spoke about whether or not she would go to trial. And I think the argument that she won't go to trial is because she's a narcissist, and the argument that she will go to trial is because she's a narcissist. But what about the demeanor of both Cheney and Baez? What did their body language say to us about their confidence levels and their own ability to try this? And we had this good old boy trust me mentality. That's gone now. Forget that. And now we have, hey, you've done this before. I'm not going to let you even drag out jury selection. So I think that they are deeply regretting this decision. And I go back and forth like a ping pong ball whether or not Casey Anthony's narcissism will demand to go to trial so she can be the center stage, or will her narcissism and desire to spare her own life cause her to take a plea? I just don't know.
I'm not sure that a plea is going to be put on the table.
That's another issue. Will they even offer?
Well, they said at one time when the rumor was that she might take a plea that there was none offered to her. So, I mean,
Baez said last week there was. Yeah, Baez said clearly last week that Casey had turned down an early plea, but that was before the body was found. Now, of course, he may not be telling the truth, but he said that there was a plea offered, and it was a very short sentence, as far as we know.
Good Lord, you're... Oh.
That would have been disastrous.
Right. I'm so glad she turned it down.
Well, there's another thing here that with these pretrial motions in this case that's going to be just painstakingly long, they have to figure out just what evidence the jury will actually be able to hear. Kind of like in the O.J. Simpson trial. Many of the people at home got to hear all kinds of evidence, but the people in that jury box only got to hear about a third to a half of it.
Right.
That's true. Including the goodbye note that he wrote in the car that the jury wasn't privy to.
Mm-hmm.
But this case is so well known. I mean, as indeed the O.J. Simpson case was. You know, where are you going to find... A jury with no knowledge about the case?
I don't see where they're going to find it. This is too publicized.
I mean, I vote out of Mongolia.
Now, the only way somebody would is if they don't have a TV, computer, or newspaper delivery. I mean, it's just in everywhere, even on the national TV. So they... And it's them that's appearing on it. That's the bad part.
Well, That does bring up a very interesting aspect. I mean, it is not the prosecution that are creating the headlines. It's the defense.
Right.
And yet they're saying, oh, we're not going to get a fair trial, you know, because everyone knows about the case. But they're the ones that are talking about it.
That raises the question of whether they're pushing towards an appeal ahead of time. Even when Cindy Anthony was so zealous to be in front of those cameras, and she seemed to be obviously she was withholding information, we know that now, but I wonder whether or not that's what Cheney is fishing for now, and perhaps Baez as well, is looking to set up an appeal. And I think this judge is just slamming it down and closing each and every door to make sure there'll be no appeal. Casey Anthony, you be at court, you hear, you listen, you take responsibility for what you have heard before we go further. And he's good. He was very impressive.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought he was pretty humorous.
I think he's a smart man.
He's got a very strong intellect. He's got a good quick wit there. I enjoyed it very much. I was interested, though, in the idea of getting purchasing two cars to do some experiments in. I thought, my goodness, where is Jose Baez going with that one?
Oh, man. I don't know. There's no telling. But I did notice, unless I'm mistaken, from what I could see, that George and Cindy Anthony wasn't even in court. I mean, unless I just didn't see them, because I looked for them, and I'm not sure if it was Brad Conway in there, but I didn't see them at all in there. So, and I found that was kind of strange, too. So I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't be this time.
Well,
Brad Conway, he's an interesting fellow.
Well, one has to wonder why the Anthonys, the senior Anthonys, haven't visited Casey in jail.
Well, they claim it's because they don't want to hear everything recorded and sent out to the public after that. They say that that's why they're not doing it. But this is a long time that they're going to go without talking to her. But I'm sure they send little messages and little notes with Baez to her, or that are messages on his laptop that he can show her possibly videos.
You know, Jenna, I actually think not. I'll tell you why. I don't think that they're not visiting because of the videotapes. I think that there has been such a falling out and such a strained relationship between them that Casey doesn't want to be seen, because I think it's very fair for any of us to say, what would you do in their situation? We would visit our children. We would make sure the conversation, we know it's going to be taped. We'll be careful what we say. But we could not bear to go that long without seeing our own child. I don't think any of us could. This is a family feud. This is a deeply disturbed family with deep, dark secrets. And I think that she, probably Casey herself, she was so angry at the mother trying to make money off Kaylee's name. The memorial, I think that made Casey blow when she saw this memorial that seemed to be centered around Cindy Anthony. She was the center. She's getting, from the death of Kaylee, what Casey wanted in terms of attention and even the fame and fortune. These people haven't worked in 2 years. How are they paying their bills?
I
had wanted to bring up what Brad Conway had said last week, which I found just utterly shocking. He said there continues to be blogs and threats against their safety regarding the Cindy and George Anthony. What does that mean, blogs and threats? That's kind of puzzling to me. And then he said something else. He said about the allegation that was raised about sexual abuse that was alleged to have happened years ago.
Oh, someone has a computer speaker on that's on the panel. Can you turn it down?
Yes.
guilty party found.
I thought it was me.
Well, I think, I don't know. I would agree with you about the Anthonys, too, but I'm just saying that that's what they're telling everybody.
That's right.
They don't want, because naturally they wouldn't be able to tell them the real reason.
I'd like to give you Brad Conway's statement that he made, and if you listen to the wording that he uses, it's clear. He said, I don't think, when he asked about a plea bargain, would Casey strike up a plea bargain, Brad Conway said, quote, I don't think Casey Anthony is going to step up and take some kind of plea.
Hmm.
What did that sound like was coming?
Mm.
What does it mean to step up? It sounds like someone taking a step up, take responsibility. I don't think Casey Anthony is going to step up and take some kind of plea.
Is it like he's insinuating that the lawyers is making all her decisions or something?
Well, I think what it's pointing to is when we talk about someone stepping up, it means to step forward, to have some courage, to have some bravery. And basically it's used when we talk about taking ownership, step up and take responsibility. Step up and accept the plea. I think his words betrayed him there. I really do. In fact, I was surprised that after that statement that he'd still be their attorney when they heard that one. Because that really speaks of a language of taking responsibility.
Denny, what do you make of it? You're our deep thinker.
Yes, I have mixed emotions on that. In the one sense, because I fear that we could have an O.J. Situation in which no matter what the evidence is, Casey gets off, and that would bother me. I don't think it would be a good outcome. On the other hand, I'm not sure she would be open to a plea bargain. I tend to agree that her personality may require that she go to trial and get her additional time in the spotlight. So I don't know. I would not be at all surprised to see her decline a plea offer and want to appear in court in front of the cameras.
TJ, Casey's back in court tomorrow at 9 a.m. More motions. Do you think Judge Perry's going to be administering another beating to Jose Baez?
If one is warranted, I would count on it. He's trying to set the tone, or he is setting the tone, for how his courtroom will be conducted and how business will be conducted in that courtroom. And he's going to lay down basically the little barriers, and you better not cross any lines. And you know, I think that the tone has already been set initially, and I can't even remember his name. Everybody keeps calling him Bozo. Baez. You know, the fun and games are over, and it's time to do some serious lawyering So I get the feeling that he's going to set the tone.
Okay.
Can't wait.
I dare to say this, but in Jose Baez's defense, that sentence I dare to say, in Jose Baez's defense, what could any of us do to defend Casey Anthony against the evidence as we see it? What strategy would any of us come up with?
Pray to God you come up with something so idiotic it creates a mistrial, and that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. I wonder if that's his goal, whether he's deliberate in that or he's just stumbling upon it himself. My goodness.
It sounds to me like they're just inventing things right now because they don't have anything.
If Denny's view was correct that it was an O.J.-like type of miscarriage of justice, can we imagine what the public outrage would be like? Wow.
That would be very good.
I would suspect that Casey would probably have to enter the witness protection
program. I would
program.
Think so.
I would also suspect she wouldn't be living in Florida. You know, maybe some nice place in Nebraska or North Dakota.
Driving an RV and getting tattoos and playing music.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what she said she was going to do.
Denny, do you think that she's good fodder for the witness protection program?
Yeah, right.
I'll take that as a no. Okay, let's move over to the Hayley Cummings case. Ron had a bond reduction hearing that was cancelled at the last moment and has not been rescheduled. I find this really curious. Right? Supposedly he has no part in the case. He's sitting with a $900,000 nut to crack. Why was that hearing canceled? TJ, you any ideas?
Well, there's a thing that's called a Nebbia hearing.
Right.
Where they try to see how much you're worth and what your means or no means are as far as perhaps reaching bail. Do you have any family members, you know, wealthy cousins, aunts or uncles, somebody who is willing to line up a huge amount of money to get your bail? I think in order to get a bond reduction, I think at first that there had to be one of those hearings, a Nebbia, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't think that had taken place yet. So I think it was a case of the cart ahead of the horse.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought
that
the Nebbia and the bond reduction hearing were very much the same.
They're similar.
Thing.
From what I understand, they're similar. But I could be all wet on this one. That's I wasn't over there for that. So
do you know if there is a Nebbia hearing still scheduled for him?
Not that I'm aware of, sir.
Hmm. Well, don't you find that curious?
I find it very curious, but I'm not doing the investigative stuff anymore, as you know, due to some health concerns and a few other things. So if my guys can get it, they'll get it.
Something that you have probably read,
uh-huh.
But yeah, just in case you missed it, your fellow Floridian Dana Treen,
yes,
at the St. Augustine Record, he has a story running, and in part it says, increasingly the police are using jail recordings for prosecution purposes. Many of them are having a great time with it. I mean, in this particular case, Hope Sykes is the first example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she went on the phone and was talking to her parents, I think, and she said, prosecutors can kiss my ass. And they actually played that tape at the sentencing. Do you think that some of the other jail tapes might appear when and if this ever goes to trial?
It's like this. I think an old crap moment took place when the remaining four heard that those things were played in court. The other thing is that if we thought that going through all these endless hours of tapes and we find a few juicy nuggets here or there, imagine what the tapes fully intact and without the redactions are going to sound like in a courtroom.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
Wow.
And I'm talking the early ones. I think the last ones, they were playing for the camera a bit. Tommy, not so bright. I think he was slipping in and out of character a few times. But the other ones, definitely no. Misty with all of her different types and personalities that she's got going on there. I think she was always getting to be presence of mind that the tapes were rolling. And And I get the feeling that after the second or third set of tapes went out, she probably did a lot of misdirection.
There was a fairly large news story this week, although you had to be, I guess, in the know to spot it. Sheriff Hardy seems to have a bit of a family issue with his son, Joshua Im.
Mm-hmm. There's a similar situation to what these other folks are involved with. Only he was possession and not trafficking when it came to methamphetamine. And if I'm not mistaken, that Sunoco station there on 17 sounds like a place where a couple of undercover deals were launched in the case of the other four.
Okay, wasn't he also implicated in manufacture?
Yeah, meth is fairly easy to manufacture. I mean, you don't even really have to have an eighth grade education. You just got to keep your trailer from blowing up when you're cooking it.
Wasn't he doing it in his home, or is that a rumor?
Don't know yet for sure.
We know that he was selling to an undercover officers at the
Sunoco
convenience store. Yeah, that part we do know. What a really troublesome timing for the sheriff himself. That's just a terrible thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, imagine looking at
his hopes. It's like he said in his little press release that, no leniency. I mean, after all, what the deputies do is bring folks in, and that's what they did. The rest is handled there by the state attorney and by the judicial system now. So there's not much he can do about it.
But, okay, Denny, your deep thought. What's the difference between selling and trafficking?
I think it's possession.
Yeah, that's certainly a point. Probably I should ask one of my associates that question and get a more precise answer. Right off the top of my head, I'm thinking that selling may be your street corner type dealer, and trafficking may be the organizer setting up a network that in the drug business. It could be the level of management, if you will, of the participant.
Okay, I can go along with that, but and understand me, I am in no way trying to support the Croslins or the Cummings, but they were busted for buying. How does that make them traffickers? Peter, can you weigh in on that?
I don't know if it in the state of Florida, would it matter of the amount that is changing hands? And I know with meth, you can be charged with trafficking by even a certain amount of cold medicines being sold on the street that way. So I'm not sure what it is down in Florida.
Okay. No, I'm just confused. I mean, and again, you know, I'll put my rider up. I think the Croslins and Cummings look just fine in jail, but as I understand it, Sheriff Hardy's son has something like a $7,000 bail. I'm sure he's out by now. And you know, Ronald's is $900,000. Misty's is a mind-blowing $1.3 million. Is this a case of someone pulling in favors?
Hmm.
Well, the first thing we read about with the press release is that he is saying that he does not want his position to influence prosecutors at all. And I don't consider that simply an open statement. The reason I say that is because it's an anticipated statement. It's anticipated that we're going to ask this question. I think I feel very sorry for the man, knowing that Hope Sykes got 15 years. She's only 18 years old. She got 15 years. I don't know what her record was like prior to that. I know there was one arrest a couple weeks before that, but I don't know what the judge looked at other than those videos. But if my son had been arrested, as the sheriff's one was, and I had seen that 15-year sentence, boy, I'd be frightened.
Oh, I think it sent a very, very clear message. I mean, as far as I can see, Hope Sykes and Donna Brock were bit players. I mean, the rest of them, they really don't have to worry too much about the sentencing about, you know, Haley. They really have to worry about the drug deal.
Simon, this is exactly why I think that Tommy has to come forward, or someone must come forward now, between now and sentencing, and clear this up and make some kind of deal. It's very difficult to discern things about Ronald Cummings when it comes to his attorney, because some of the statements that he's made are just really difficult to digest. When he says that Ronald wasn't mad at Misty for getting his daughter stole, he was just disappointed, for instance, or that Ron married her to get closer to her to find out, and then he divorced her because the police wanted to get closer to find out more information. These things are very hard to follow. So when the information comes from his attorney, I look for the grain of salt immediately.
Are we talking about James Werter?
We are talking about, Shoemaker is his name?
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah,
I have the right name there?
Yes. Yeah.
He's the one that released the different statements that, like, for instance, that Ron was still holding out hope that Haley was alive and wasn't going to go through with the plans for the funeral, and just some things that were really quite a stretch. When he talked about Ronald divorcing her because the police advised him to, I have a real trouble with that one. I have trouble seeing it that way. And then later on we found out that Teresa Neves said that Ronald was selling drugs just to get close to Misty to learn what happened to Haley. There's a quote, only dealt drugs to get close to Misty after the divorce in order to learn what happened to Haley. So when you have these things about keeping your enemy closer and the echoes of The Godfather, it's difficult to follow. But the one thing we can grab onto is that Hope Sykes, as you said, was a bit player, got 15 years. This has got to scare Tommy Crosland into coming clean with something. This is why I think that we may be on the very edge here of having this case come to a some kind of crisis point or conclusion, I hope.
Okay, but Tommy is shouting from the rooftops that he's only looking at 3 years. I don't know where he gets this idea from.
Oh, I do. He got the same place that Hope got it. When Hope was talking about boot camp for 2 years, that she ain't going to boot camp and I'll be a monster when I get out and they ain't giving me no 15 years. In that type of environment, the inmates usually find someone who's a leader, who's vocal, who steps up a lot, and they have almost a jailhouse attorney. And it's not an attorney at all, obviously. And they repeat something like, you're going to get 14 months. And they repeat it often enough because they're looking for hope, they're looking for something to encourage themselves with, and it becomes almost gospel to them, where they begin to believe this. I think that the mother of Hope was in reality, and she's saying, listen, you're looking at 15 years. And Hope completely threw that off because she had received plenty of counsel in the jail cells of plenty of others who said, well, my brother got this, and my aunt got this, and my cousin got that, and nowhere near 15 years. And boom, she got it. This is resounding through those jail cells, and they're talking about this, and I think it's Tommy that has to come forward and make a deal of some form. He's not getting 3 years unless there's a deal.
In fact, guys, if you go through some of the earliest tapes that we had from the jail, Misty's getting that kind of advice, and Tommy was talking about there being some kind of an old dude or an older guy in where he was, where they really can't see each other, but you know they talk. And I think he was dispensing him that kind of hope that it was only going to be 3 years due to his age and, you know, not very many times behind bars.
It's like the jailhouse president in the Seinfeld episode where you're going to run for jailhouse president, jail cell president. They have someone who's a leader who they all look to, and they repeat things that people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Misty in the beginning thought that she was going to get out in a weekend or two, and Leonard Padilla was going to pull up, give her a car, and give her gas money, and send her off on her way, and she was promising to be clean, except for marijuana, of course, and she could make a new life for herself. She is looking at a long time in prison.
Yeah, the rest of her life. And by the way, running for jailhouse president and all the factors you mentioned, hell, I thought that was a congressional race you were talking about.
It is in New Jersey.
Well, I'm from Illinois. It's pretty similar.
Low blow.
I'm getting in trouble here.
TJ, realistically, can you see Tommy getting 3 years?
No. There has been way too much attention paid to that young man over the last 15 months. No, they're going to hold the highest sentence over his head they possibly can. And because they have some mandatory sentencing, as Hope Sykes found out, those mandatories mean something. Mandatory. You're not getting three.
Right.
You're getting 15. You might get away with 12 for good behavior, but initially it's going to be 15 at the least. Unless, of course, he's found innocent of all charges.
Okay. In one of the jailhouse tapes that I published, I can't remember who said it, but, you know, actually it was Tommy. Yeah, I'm going to be out in three, and Misty's going to be out in 25. I mean, no way, no how. Can you see Misty getting away with 25?
No, 40 at the least. 100 at the most, 40 at the least.
My God. TJ, I have to ask you a question. We won't name any names, but did you get whiff of James Werter this week sniffing around? He apparently has been annoying a couple of people that we know.
Yes.
One of them we would class as friend.
Yeah.
The other, we won't quantify. What did you make of that?
Well, it's kind of been going on for a while, I get the feeling that Mr. Werter was given some misinformation about information he allegedly heard from a friend, who heard it from a cousin, who heard it from an uncle, who heard it from another relative twice removed, and that was just in one picnic, that there were certain things that existed that had his client mentioned or his client talking. To my knowledge, such things don't exist.
Right.
Never seen them, and I don't think you've seen them. I don't think they exist.
Right. It was curious. In fact, I think that most of Mr. Werter's anguish came from public record tapes out of St. John's.
Yes. I would say that was the most of it. I think he got it confused with something else. And like I said, when you hear it from a family member or a friend three or four times down through the old telephone line, as they used to call it back then, it gets a little more creatively enhanced with each telling of the story. So what started out as something rather factual and really had nothing to do with his client, it wound up, he got the word that it had everything to do with his client, and he was looking to stick a sock in it wherever he could.
I did invite Mr. Werter to join us today, but as the saying goes in the trade, you know, as we go to press, we have not heard back.
Mm-hmm.
Which probably shouldn't surprise me too much. Well, let's take a live caller, someone coming in from the 724 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, this is Peggy again. First of all, I love the article, Will Casey Anthony Go to Trial? That was terrific. My question is, though, do you think that either of Casey Anthony's attorneys have ever met up with a client like she is? You talk about her being a narcissist, whatever. I mean, she's a whole different breed of cattle, even from those of us that kind of keep up with trials and cases. I can't recall anybody being like her.
Peter, I think I'm going to give this one to you.
Well, I think it's a great question because by even asking that question, what she's saying is I've noticed behavior of this particular person that seems quite unique. So what do you think lawyers think? I think that they have run into someone that they've never seen before. I really do. Casey Anthony takes lying to a different level. Most, 90-plus percent of liars lie by omission, information they withheld. Casey is unique in that she will fabricate reality. What I've been doing this week on some of my spare time has been looking at some of Casey's earliest statements to the police. This 22-year-old girl, and I mentioned this before, had the bravado to go with law enforcement all the way down the hallway of Universal to her alleged office, knowing that this all was a lie. Had I been in the shoes of some of those detectives, I would have marveled at the nerve. What I've been doing, though, is looking at her words that she spoke to the detectives. And the statistic is like this, 90-plus percent of all lies contain some truth in them. And I'm looking at what were the things that Casey said to those detectives, what were the words that went through her mind as she was lying. And I think it's going to be telling, and I'm working on that now. But boy, oh boy, I think she's a unique liar. I think she's a real rare breed.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. You have yourself a wonderful day.
You too.
Okay. I received an email earlier today that I think contained some erroneous information. TJ, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
All right.
This business about Ron having Nancy Grace on his speed dial.
Mm-hmm.
You did not witness that, did you?
No, I did not.
No. So
I never claimed to have witnessed that at all.
Right. It was, in fact, another journalist who shall remain nameless. Okay, Peter, you stirred up the pot this week. I did it last week. Apparently it was your turn this week. You put out an article. You seem to be buying into the idea that Ron's involved. Tell us about why you think that.
I just had a few thoughts and put them down, and I understand the article was referenced by your blog, and that's when the storm hit. There is an outpouring of anger, just rage and anger, that I would have the audacity to even suggest that Ronald may be involved. And what I did was I didn't use statement analysis for my conclusion, because I don't have enough statements of Ronald's to show that. What I did was some analysis of some of the things he said, along with the general profile, along with the most bizarre behavior imaginable in a case like this. And I've come across the board, and I think that Ronald is involved in some way, maybe directly before or maybe after the fact. But why in the world would he, after being told that Misty Croslin had failed the polygraphs, and very simple, Do you know what happened to Haley? No. Failure. Why would he then tip her off that Tim Miller and Equisearch had someone there that was seeking to get information so they could help locate Haley's remains? Why in the world would he do that?
Very good question. Denny, we haven't heard from you for a while, and I hate it when you go quiet.
Yeah, I read Peter's thoughts on Ranald, and he certainly made some very good points. Again, a lot of the stuff that Peter has been offering over the weeks are things I hadn't thought about when I initially looked at the case. And I'm tending, after reading Peter's comments, think that, yeah, maybe, I know that Ranald has his supporters, and not everybody thinks he's the greatest guy in the world, but they also don't think he had any involvement in Haley's disappearance. And I was in that camp primarily. I didn't find him to be a particularly nice guy, but I thought his hands may have been more or less clean in this situation. Maybe in the periphery he had done some things, you know, exposing her to danger through some of his associates, and his decision to let Misty, with her problems, be the children's caretaker. But I'm starting to lean toward maybe he was a little more involved than I had first thought. And if Ranald ends up getting indicted for something to do with Haley's disappearance, I would no longer be totally shocked about it.
TJ, I know that you are an objective journalist. You do not try and add color, and I admire you for it. Do you think Ronald is involved?
Won't know till there's an arrest made and a trial.
The ever politically correct TJ Hart speaks. Jen.
What, dear?
Do you think Ronald is involved?
I'm going to say this once more, that I still believe it could be any of them, including the mother's side, Haley's mother's side of the family. And I think they should all be investigated, each and every one of them. And then, like y'all say, we'll know the truth when the time comes. But all this bickering about, oh, no, you have your nerve about saying that this is about Ron. And then the others will say, don't go down on Misty because it's this one or that one. That's not going to help any of us. And it's just going on. It's getting so big that all the bloggers right now are getting so frustrated that they're ganging up on each other, and it's getting bad. So, but no, I can't say for sure Ronald is involved, or I say maybe he knows the truth, but I can't picture him hurting that little girl. I mean, just looking at the pictures of him and her together, she looks so happy with her daddy, and I just can't picture it, that's all.
Jen, I actually have a question for you then regarding the bloggers and the opinions and the anger. If you found out that Ronald was indicted, would you react in just outrage and anger?
No.
If you found out Ronald was not involved, would you react with outrage and anger?
No, because I don't. If somebody's gonna, to begin with, it's about the first part. If somebody was gonna, they're gonna indict him, they got to have some kind of proof to do that. And I mean, it's got to be something that none of us know about right now. And I still think that they know, the cops know more than what they say, and they know. But I don't know. I wouldn't be enraged either way with it, I don't think, until I know for sure who's done what. And it's a really hard question because, you know, one thing, you hear one thing, And then you say, well, that could be possible. And then the next day you hear something else and say, oh, well, I guess that was wrong then. And you do this in your mind, and you get yourself all twisted up to where you don't know what to think.
Well, I'm looking at it from the point of personal outrage. If you don't know Ronald Cummings personally, if you're not a member of his family or his best friend, would it matter to you personally to the point where you would just become enraged and not present any arguments, but just lash out and be vile and demeaning? What does that say about a person who is that emotionally vested in someone they've never met or never seen? I go back to the FBI private investigator who said that there's going to be an arrest and that one arrest will surprise no one and the other arrest will surprise many. Do you all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think was the one that might surprise everybody?
Oh, it absolutely has to be Ronald.
For me, Ronald was someone I didn't look at in the beginning, and I was been under the impression that law enforcement has, I don't know about cleared him, but they said he's not a suspect, and I don't know if that's because he's simply not a suspect and I'm barking up the wrong tree, or if they are just playing it very close to the vest. But as TJ said before, can we imagine what we haven't heard on those tapes?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Where are the Ronald tapes?
You know something? We've only had two sets of audio tapes from Putnam County.
I actually put in an email for the tapes,
mm-hmm.
and I got a very nice letter back. And it basically said, hey, we don't even bother recording them. We're not about to release them.
Wait, can you say the first part of that again, Simon?
We
don't bother to record them?
Yeah. Yeah. They're too boring.
Oh, okay.
In other words, they're saying that they have nothing to do with the case, I guess.
Now, you know, I have to admit that I wasn't entirely happy with the response, but, you know, the Haley Cummings case consumes too much of my time already. You know, I do have to make a living on the side. So I didn't push it. I'm sure that under Florida sunshine laws, we could get those tapes released. I just haven't attempted to yet.
Well, I thought the Florida Sunshine Law was only if somebody had been arrested for the charge.
Well, he has been arrested.
Yeah, he's been arrested for the dope.
Right,
but not
the drug charge.
Anything, right, but nothing for Haley. That's why they're claiming that they don't have to release anything.
Well, no. I mean, tapes relating to the dope charge are part of the Sunshine Law.
Well, that part is, yeah. But, I mean, I thought you was talking about what was said about Haley.
No, in other words, that since, like, Tommy's tapes have been released, for instance, and he's not been charged in the disappearance of Haley Cummings, I think that's the point you're making, Simon, is that under the Sunshine Laws, we have the Tommy tapes.
Right. I mean, there are two very different cases going on here. And if you look at the Tommy tapes, and I've looked at so many of these videos, you know, it makes my head spin. You can see that there has been some redaction, that there's one in particular that has been heavily redacted. And I would just love to know what the rest of the conversation was. TJ, I think you know the tape I'm talking about.
The 30-minute one?
The 3-minute one.
Oh, the 3-minute one. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't it seem like there's some slashing and dashing done on it?
Oh, yes, sir. I tell you what, the person who does the editing there at St. John's County, and God love that person, working back to his health, and had been out for quite a while. I'm thinking that 15 to 30 minute tape, that was an all day job just to get that down to to 3 minutes.
Okay,
I'm thinking Putnam County's got a ton of stuff in that.
In fact, I have it queued up. Why don't we listen to it?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I guess I could give it a try.
Okay.
But I'm ready to be back up around my brother and my nieces.
I know. They ain't going to make it there long, Tom.
Yeah, they will. They ain't coming back to Florida, I guarantee you that. Tim ain't going to come back here.
Tim, I think sometimes, just the way Tim talks, he wants to.
Tim won't come back to Florida.
Why?
Ask him that. He don't like it here. Are people bothering us all the damn time? The damn police constantly messing with us?
People,
he don't want that.
If they find Haley, they won't be messing with you like that anymore.
I know.
It all has to do with finding the little girl, Tom.
I know.
And if it was my little girl, I would not care who was in jail either.
I don't either. Never said I did, you know, I never said nothing like that. I just don't like Florida altogether.
I know, I want them to find her and our
Me
whole
too.
Life has to be different. Find out who did it.
I don't know. Damn cops still gonna bother us.
No, they're not. Once they find Haley. Once who knows anything. Any teeny tiny little piece of information.
I know, baby. I don't even want to talk about that no more. I love you.
Why? Why?
Because that shit's just... That whole thing right there has made these fucking people bother me and my family so much I can't stand it. And I had nothing to do with none of it. Yeah. That's the only reason they come after us.
So you don't want to talk about Haley?
I just don't want to talk about none of it no more. I want her to come home, but it's out of my hands. I pray for her every night. Just the cops, man. I can't stand them, man. That's the only reason that I'm standing here right now is because of them.
Wow. Now, Jen, you were the first one to pick up on this, all right? This is a tape that's been heavily redacted, all right? It's clear that Lindsay is pushing Tommy.
Yeah, it's like she's trying her best to get him to talk. I mean, that's my opinion of it.
Nah, what we don't know is what he said later. Peter, you've heard this tape. You've messed with it. You've transcribed it. What do you think? That there's a lot more to it than that.
I think that Tommy's wife knows, in the sense that a woman sometimes knows, that Tommy is withholding information. And that even just, as she said, a little bit of information can
right.
set this thing in motion. That really struck me. But, you know, we've talked about this before where she is pressing for information. But that one statement, as we listen now, caught my attention. Just a little bit, that one tiny bit of information. It really spoke to me. It's almost like she's saying, Tommy, I know and you know, so just give it to them. Let's get this thing over with. He can blame the police for his being there. And in a sense, I think we all almost agree with him in that they were being watched. let's face it, that family was being watched after Hazy went missing. Why in the world would they believe that they could go out and sell drugs with all the police surveillance, with all the media following them? Ronald himself complained about the media following. Yet, boldly, they are in there. Misty, who appears to be this lost little girl when she's on in front of the camera, yet on that video camera, she was bold, she was taking charge, her math's a little faulty, but she's ready to go and deal. And, boy, oh boy, it just makes me wonder, Tommy, you've got to do something to save yourself here. I have my doubts about Tommy's involvement pre the report, but I think that he may have been involved in disposing that body. And then the question is, what does Misty have on Tommy that she can make him quiet? What does Ronald have on Tommy that he can say, listen, you see this decapitated rat? You rat out me, and this is what's going to happen to you. Obviously an intimidation thing. What do these people have on each other that has kept the three of them bound together and quiet? Why did Ron not want Misty talking to Tim Miller's organization? Why would Ron refuse to believe or refuse to acknowledge that Misty has flunked five polygraphs? Five polygraphs. And from what I have been able to glean in looking at that, these were some skilled polygraphers. These were some very steady and easy questions. When someone is, if you don't know that something happened because you were so intoxicated, you won't fail a polygraph because your body won't react because you don't know you're lying. Lying is stressful. Misty failed the polygraph. She didn't fail to remember. She failed the polygraph. What do they have on each other that they are protecting each other? That's the key to this case.
I've thought that before, too, that they must have something on one another to be afraid to say anything. I don't know what it could be. I can't imagine anything that would keep me quiet if my daughter was missing, like, you know, I knew somebody that supposedly might know something about it. I don't know. I just wouldn't keep my mouth shut.
Think about the Geraldo. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, carry on.
Think about the Geraldo interview that took place shortly after Hazy went missing. Ronald said something that police are obviously able to grab onto, something that is common to people who know what they're saying. Again, the brain tells the tongue what to say in less than a microsecond. It chooses words, and this is what Ronald said. I will believe she's alive until they find her. That tells me he knew she was dead. Misty said she spoke of Haley in the past tense. She knew she was deceased.
Hmm.
I'm sticking with it.
Denny, I know you've heard this tape before, and it obviously has been redacted. It's redacted at the beginning, and it's redacted at the end. What do you think of it?
I think I'd like to hear the whole thing.
Wouldn't we all?
But I just want to revise and extend my remarks from earlier when you asked me the question about trafficking versus sale. If I remember the question correctly. I just was doing a little surfing here on the Internet, and I found a definition that has me convinced my answer was erroneous. It says, drug possession is the crime of having one or more illegal narcotics in one's possession. Trafficking is the crime of buying and selling of illegal drugs. So selling in itself constitutes trafficking. It's not two separate things. Selling is one of the definitions that's used in determining whether you're trafficking drugs. And I know a lot of jurisdictions have have laws called possession with intent to sell. And my recollection is of how they work is that if you're caught with a quantity of an illegal drug that would be considered more than a person would use for just personal use, you're presumed, you don't have to be actually caught selling it. You're presumed because of the volume or the quantity you have that your intent was to sell the drugs. So based on that definition, it looks like selling, they're in effect the same thing.
Okay. All right. I'm going to play with this a little bit. If I've got 5 tablets and I'm caught with them, I'm just possessing.
Whatever the definition is in that jurisdiction for the what they consider a quantity for personal use, and I guess it would depend on what the drug is, and then there'd be some establishment of the amount.
All right. But, you know, if I'm caught with 200 tabs, I'd be accused of selling. However, if I try and obtain 200 tabs, I likely might be accused of trafficking because that would be more than what I could claim as personal use.
I don't think, Simon, unless you actually have them in your possession, they could charge you with trafficking. I think the attempt to buy them, in fact, what I would think the police would do if you were attempting to buy them and they knew it, which they obviously would before they could charge you, that they would want you to go ahead and make the purchase and then get you with the drugs in your possession, and they would have sufficient quantity to charge you then with the intent to sell. Which would constitute drug trafficking. I know it was always a thing that if you wanted somebody, if you had a burglar, for example, and you knew they were going to attempt a burglary, what you would let them do, you wouldn't want them to go into a house that was occupied or something where there was a danger. But let's say a business burglary, if you had a tip that a business burglary was going to come down, and you would, have the area surrounded and so forth, you would let them actually get into the building because the crime of burglary is more serious than an attempted crime. So you could sit there and watch them until they actually made entry to the building and then spring the trap and have them with a little more serious crime, serious charges. And I was never involved in drug enforcement, but my thought is that if the authorities had reason to believe you were seeking a large amount of drugs, they wouldn't confront you at that point because they obviously have inside information. They would let you go ahead and make the purchase. Question.
TJ, I want to get your thoughts on this one. You know, trafficking, selling, owning, What's your understanding?
My understanding is that he was nailed on possession and the manufacturer, and that was the whole deal. I thought those were just the two charges, if I'm recalling correctly. I don't have.
Oh, no. You're talking Jeff Hardy's son.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm talking the Crosland and Cummings family.
Oh, with the what seems to be the love-hate bond there. Let's see. Every time I think it's one thing that binds Misty and Tommy together, maybe a dirty little secret, that doesn't pass muster when you throw Ron into the mix. So
no.
That really wouldn't be it. Did an accident happen? Were 3 of them culpable, but nobody really the bad guy? And is there a fear that all 3 would be imprisoned for life if they ever spoke of an accident that involved the 3? That one kind of makes sense. But I really don't know what it is that keeps them stuck together the way that they are and is, dysfunctional as it is. But they all seem to be, hanging tough during this time.
Okay.
We know that drug dealing kept them together, though. That is the one connection that they all shared.
Sure.
We've, so.
and there might be somebody above them that they need to protect. There was a very, very bad man who has been connected with the drug trade in that area, was put away right at about the time, and it might have been a little after, Haley disappeared. And then I don't know how the heck it happened, but this very, very, very bad man somehow got out last fall when things started shaking up a little bit. You know, we had the Mondex draining. We had the Ratgate thing going on there. We had Tommy stealing guns and household cleaning products and Lisa Crosland forging checks and what have you. All that stupidity started happening when it was known that this fellow was out. Now, I cannot remember his name, but they give him the name Crazy Al, and they also call him Al Capone. Whether or not he has anything to do with this, or if the drug trade was funneled through that guy, or this, that, or the other, but it just seems that, you know, things really got stupid when word got out that he was back on the street.
Hey, Simon?
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, of course.
I've been thinking about this, and we talked a few minutes ago about what do these people have on each other to keep everybody in line, because it didn't make sense to me and apparently to other people of what could be that bad that they could all, you know, keep each other from talking. What do they know? And, you know, as more has come out here, I think, and I guess I can attribute this to Peter, is Ronald... sounds like he has the potential to be a fairly violent guy, that he could be kind of nasty on occasion. Well, they all do. I mean, this whole gang or crew or clan or whatever. So I'm wondering, I was thinking, well, okay, if Haley did, as one of the scenarios is, get into somehow or other some narcotic or some pill that night and she died in the trailer and that type of thing, and everybody got nervous and decided to dispose of her. An accidental death was something you get away, I don't say get away with, but the penalties wouldn't be that severe. But I'm wondering if these people are involved in the drug business. I mean, you're talking a lot of money in drugs. There's no question about it. People who have, well, look what's going on in Mexico. I mean, that's certainly an extreme. But people will commit violence to protect their turf, to protect their income, and that kind of thing. How is it possible that maybe these people, through their drug dealing operations, maybe they whacked a competitor? I mean, maybe there's some serious stuff that they know about each other through the drug operations, and that's it's more than just an accidental death, for example, that there's a lot more to it, and whatever it is, possibly a homicide somewhere in the past that was involved in the drug trade. I don't know. Is that being ridiculous on my part, or is that a...
No, not at all. I think you might be onto something there.
Once the door is open with the drug world, who knows where it will go? Once that scary door has been opened, who knows who they're going to let in? I wonder whether or not, let's say that she found one of the pills on the floor or something like that, and we were told, I believe it was on one of the television shows, that the trailer was a mess and that it was cleaned up really quickly, so for the television cameras. But let's say it was a pill was found on the floor and Haley did overdose, and Ronald gets news of this at work and he calls back. And he sends Tommy over, and he has them dispose of the body because they're all afraid they're going to be found culpable because it's their drugs. I guess that's one possibility.
I think that's a very good possibility.
Very much so.
Yeah. It's the most minor of the possibilities. Then we have the questions of sexual abuse. We have the questions of a larger drug trade and revenge killings and all the other things that have been thrown out there all this time. Sometimes I wonder if it's going to be something as innocuous as an accidental death, where these three people have had so much illegal activity amongst each other
that when Ronald said, you're doing this and you're going to keep your mouth shut because they're going to put Misty away or something like that, he then put himself involved in it. Misty already would be found culpable of negligent death, and now Tommy is helping dispose of a body, and they all three of them get together, and all three of them have something else in common besides drugs, their love of Joe Overstreet.
Oh, let's talk, Joe. I mean, TJ, I have to ask you. I mean, I think the whole Joe Overstreet scenario just sucks wind. I mean, it doesn't work for me. I mean, he's a very convenient excuse, but I don't see him involved. Do you?
No, to be quite honest with you, when they pretty much wrote him off early, although they said everyone's a suspect and no one has been cleared, well, he was kind of down there toward the bottom of the list. Now, God knows that they've come up and knocked on his doors a few times just to follow up on some questions and some other leads and what have you. But if they had anything on that man, even close, his butt would be in jail with the rest of them.
Right. I mean, the way I see it, you know, if they wanted Joe, that they could pull a similar scheme as they did with the rest of the family, and he'd be in jail in no time flat.
Well, he said in an open statement, unprompted, that he didn't do it, and statistically, it puts him in a category that he likely didn't do it. If I said to you, did you do it, and you said, no, I didn't do it, it's not that strong because it's in response to what I'm asking you. But from the tape that I saw, it appears that Joe Overstreet is offering this as part of his statement, unprompted, that he didn't do it. And I know it sounds overly simplified, but it's amazingly true statistic. When someone says that in an open statement, unprompted, it generally is going to be true. Now, of course, someone could hear that on the radio and say, well, next time I get accused of something, exactly what I'll do. But as they talk, other evidence will be brought in. I don't think that Joe Overstreet had anything to do with it, and I think that he has been the convenient scapegoat of the three of them. And I think that Grammy Hollers and a few others have joined in with that and have thrown more confusion into the wind, where people are just wondering which way it's going. And this may not be as complicated as it has made out to be.
Oh, I don't believe it's complicated at all. But I do believe that, you know, we're being given a lot of, you know, additional information that we don't need. Jan, do you think Joe Overstreet is involved?
Not really, but there is a possibility, just like everybody else. But no, personally, I don't think he is.
No, it's my firm belief that the killer or killers are already behind bars. Denny, would you back me up on that one?
I'm with you, Simon. I think they're already locked up, just not on the homicide charge. But I think they're in jail already.
TJ, you're the man on the ground. What once again, PCSO has gone amazingly quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like they hibernate like bears. Are you hearing anything at all?
Not at all. Not at all. I'm not hearing boo. And that usually means that they've got something cooking. I mean, the last thing we heard was basically that one-way press release with Hardy's son being held on the drug charges. But other than that, they have not said much of anything. And I get the feeling that they probably won't until they have all their ducks in a row, or as many as they can at the time. And then they'll make some announcement. If it goes as pretty much as it's very cyclical, a press release will undoubtedly come out. And the first two or three lines will be, you know, very nice, blah, 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 la, la, la. The third paragraph will get your attention. The fourth will go largely unnoticed, but it's probably the most important line in the whole darn press release that'll tell you everything that they're up to, that they'll allow to be kept out. And I go back to the August 17th press release when they said, oh, by the way, if you have any idea where Misty Crosland Cummings was the night the child disappeared, we'd sure like to hear from you. Everything else was talking about the baby's birthday and families and this and that. And if be careful, don't talk to just anybody who says they're a reporter. Well, four paragraphs down was the sign as big as a neon sign on an interstate, saying, "Hey, we're looking really closely at Misty." So once again, just be prepared. I believe something like that might be in the works, and I have no foundation to. Other than a hunch.
Oh, I've noticed this about their press releases. I mean, that they are masterful works. You know, if you know where to look, there's information. But it's always buried. It's buried deep.
Well, you're looking around at all these other things that make you feel good, or you say, aha, they confirmed my suspicion. Oh, by the way, and that's the one that'll just give you a Charlie horse, just like a punch to the thigh. Oh, hey, what was that? Well, that was the whole essence of the entire release right then and there.
Peter, have you ever looked at any of the PCSO press releases?
No, I haven't, but I think that would make an interesting analysis.
Johnny Green with the pastor, Adam.
Oh, they are priceless. I mean, absolutely priceless.
They're stealth is what they are.
Yeah.
With those type of releases, one of the things that I look for immediately is the order in which they report things. And that order is important. It could be that something is, they're hoping to pass it by as just slip it through where they fulfill their obligations out there, but hopefully drew no attention. Or it could be that something really is quite down on the totem pole of they don't want to be asked about it because they're not sure what's going on.
Oh,
but
I'm with
TJ on this one. I think that as we get closer to the dates, even with continuances filed, if it happens, as we get closer to the dates of those three being sentenced for the drug trafficking, we're going to have some breaking news on the Haley Cummings investigation. We haven't actually been told specifically why the sheriff has now called it a homicide. That kind of dropped off. We had some sensational reporting that didn't prove out. But I think TJ is correct. I think something's coming.
Oh, yeah. I think there is indeed something coming down the pike. Okay, we're getting short on time, but there's one last thing that I do want to clear up. I have received numerous emails. Peter, you and I both have released personal theories about what went on, and that there are some folks out there saying, well, who's to say that she wasn't dead before Ron went to work? Well, I'll tell you what, that scheme doesn't work for me. Does anyone on the panel buy into the fact that she was dead before Ron went to work?
Too many people dropped by the trailer, or at least claimed to have been by there, from the time he left to the time he got back, including Great Granny Sykes with some laundry. Apparently, I think Tommy had been there. There had been other people there at that time. They saw a live child.
I think it's time for everyone to put that one to bed. We're just about out of time. I want to run around the panel and get everyone's last thoughts. Jan.
Well, the only thing I have to say is that I hope and pray that Haley is either found or brought home one way or the other soon. So this can be over with. It's long gone, just way too long. just want her to come home, or one way or the other.
TJ.
Yes.
I don't see
a resolution for a while. Like I said a couple weeks ago, we might be doing this a year from now still.
Oh, don't say that.
I know.
Absolutely don't say that.
Take a look at the Anthony case, and heck, they've got their prime suspect locked up.
Oh, man. Trust you to bring that one up. Okay, Denny, your parting thoughts for us.
I think I'm probably in the same mindset as TJ. I think there might be some news coming. I think we're going to get some type of information, newsworthy information, in the fairly near future, but I don't think it's going to be the conclusive resolution. And I have this nagging fear, because my biggest fear about this case is that it goes technically unsolved. I mean, you know, we might all think, okay, what happened a couple of weeks ago with the searches of the river and all that stuff, that we know in our minds, or we think we know kind of what came down, but that it's never proven. And that's my fear, that that's the way this will end up. So I think there'll be more news, but I also think it's possible that an actual resolution could be months away, if ever.
Oh, Peter, you're sort of involved with law enforcement. What are your parting thoughts on today's program?
It's Mother's Day, and I think there are a lot of caring parents, caring citizens who want justice for Haley, regardless of who is responsible. And I think we will see a resolution. Of course, I have the back of my mind always the fear that Denny and TJ raised, that it'll be unresolved, or that even technically unresolved, as Denny put it, that maybe the perpetrators will be in jail, but not for this reason. I do think we're going to have closure, and I do think we're going to get a big news story coming up before those others go to trial.
I don't particularly want the news story, but I think I have to agree with you. This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network, and I want to thank our wonderful panel. Ooh, I sound like Jane Velez Mitchell. You guys are just great. Well, guys and gals.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll be discussing this case again next week. Till then, this is Simon and Jan wishing everyone a great Mother's Day and a great week.
And a happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Yep. We will talk to you next Sunday. Goodbye.
Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye.
Bye.